people, but I will tell you this about Jim. When you first come here, some of the other guys know it. It's kind of intimidating and scary because of what he knows. And you think, man, what's he talking about? I can't catch up with this. And I used to chase rabbit tails. He'd be talking about something, and then I'd be digesting it in my mind, and then I'd have to run to try to catch up with where he was at. This lady, she, you know what I'm talking about. So, but don't get intimidated, because after a while, you really start to understand what he's saying. You know, but at first, he's speaking Spanish or Greek to you, but it takes a while. But then you'll get it, and it'll slowly start coming to you, and you think, man. And then what happens instead of when you learn this stuff, instead of closing the doors on the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, you start opening up and come on in, let's talk about this, you know, because I want to tell you all about what you don't know. So this is a good class, but don't get discouraged with it. You know, you will enjoy it, and the longer you come, the more interesting it gets, because then you're going to start asking Jim, where's some books I can get Jim to start reading? And so one book he recommended I've read 6 times. Every time I read it, I pick up something new. But I've read that book 6 times now. And Joanne gets done, I may read it again. She's on her, I think, her 3rd time. But that's the book, The Bible in 8 Ages, and I highly recommend it to anybody. And the book in Christ in Creation, I highly recommend that. Jim got us all started on that. They're good books. Okay?
Thank you, Brother Bill.
Yep.
Rebecca did the best job of just absolutely, and they have listened to her do that over 700 or 800 times on the website on the little video. Rebecca, you want to add anything? You want to get up and do something?
You're doing it again.
Have you ever watched yourself?
No, I don't. I haven't. Hello, I'm Rebecca, and like you said, I've been here probably about close to 6 years now, and Bill is right. At first, you're just like, what? It takes a while for it all to sink in, but if you continue to come week after week, it's amazing how much you learn. There are times when I'll be sitting having a conversation with my husband, and I'll be like, well, I know that, and I know that, and I know that. And I think it's because... although the class says it's John, we go through other verses throughout the Bible too, and so I picked up a lot of knowledge just through those books as well as we study. So you do get an in-depth view of the Bible, not just the one book that we're looking at right now. So it is a good class, and like I said, I keep coming back. My kids, my little baby, he's in Awanas now, but he sat in the class and learned Greek along with us for a while there, so... hope that you try to stick it out a little bit.
She was in the class when she was still carrying him, you know.
So my grandbaby that brought
him. He heard me preaching before he was ever born. And Brandy, it's good to have you in here. You're all this. I know this is a lot of stuff when you come to the class. There's a lot of things in here. But don't be intimidated by it. You will pick it up. I don't specifically teach you Greek or Hebrew, but I will teach you both of them at the same time as you're studying the Bible, and teach the languages to you simultaneously, which will not scare you to death. I mean, the first time you hear this kind of stuff, you know, it's too much for me. But don't. It's not too much for you. You can learn it. Anyway, we're in John 3:20 today. We've been really having a good time in John, the 3rd chapter. Let's have a word of prayer now, too. And we'll get somebody to come up here and lead us in prayer also. Michelle, I'm not going to ask you. Randy, you want to come up here and lead us in prayer tonight?
Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for Wednesday, the middle of the week. It's the most tiring day of the week, the week that you're asleep the most. And it seems to be just right when we need you, Lord, that we're able to come back to church and just get that little fill up. And I thank you for that. I thank you for this class and that you've given Jim the ability to come here and to teach us and to share his knowledge. And I thank you for Valley giving him that and opening their doors to a place like this. It's just a really nice place to be and just to hear the truth. Thank you.
Amen. I like to try to get all of you to take part in the class and make you feel at home here. I'm accessible to you. You know that. I try to make myself accessible to you. And even when you have a Bible question during the week or something and you want to call, if I got time, I'll talk to you. If I don't, I'll say, I'm busy. I'm chasing a rabbit or doing something. Anyway, pos. That's how it starts. Gar. Ho fala prason. Mise. To fos kai uk erkete. Pros to fos. Hina me eleks the ta erga autu. Now, in the first word there, it's all like English, except it's got one mathematical term right in front of it. What is that? 3.14? Yeah. Well, Cindy could tell us all because she's a professor. Just rattle it all off. It's got about 40 different things after that. But pi is in the front of it, and then alpha sigma, and that's the final sigma. In English, we had an S and a final S before 1800. All right. In English, in the Constitution, when it was written, it had a S. That's a S. That's not an F. And it had an S. That's what you call a final S. In Greek, you have a sigma and a final sigma. All right? Sigma and the final sigma. And you know what these are? You know what that is? That's a Roman numeral, but that's not a Roman numeral. That is actually a Greek numeral. All right? That's where it came from. All medical language comes from Greek. All legal language comes from Latin. Pos and then gar. And it starts out as for. And that is a casual particle or conjunction. For all or every the one evil. All right? The evil things. Folly, like folly. Okay? Evil things doing vile things, garbage things, wicked things. There are a lot of words for evil and wicked in Greek, aren't there? All right, here's a word for Greek, in Greek for bad. What is that? You can read that in English. What's that in English? Huh? Kakos. That's bad. That's a damning evil. All right. What is that? Porneo. That's real wicked. That's bad, bad, bad. This is homosexuality. This is prostitution. This is murder. And all of the real super, super wicked capital crimes, you might say. Capital crimes. And then we have the word folly. We have the word folly. And in Hebrew, the equivalent of this is ra. Okay? For the one evil things doing, practicing. Look at that, practicing. That's nominative singular masculine present participle active. That's a participle which is a marriage of a noun and a verb. Okay? The one practicing every day evil things. Messe. Messe means he hates. All right? He hates. Tophos. Tophos. We get a word photograph out of that word there, phos. And the name Frank comes from this word, Frank. In Greek is photios, which means light or frank. Okay. What is the feminine name for Frank? Francis. All right. We get to learn names as we go here to the roots of them. He hates the light and not That's an adverb of negation there. Adverb of negation. An adverb does what? Shows action. We got two teachers here. Three teachers. It shows action. This is, he actively notly. In English, you would put a L-Y on it. Notly. Actively not. He comes. And look at this. Now, remember I kept telling you that we're going to talk about TULIP just a little bit. And we're going to talk about superlapsarian, infralapsarian, and sublapsarianism. And how many of you know what that is? Brother David, you do. Brother Bill, one time you didn't know what those terms were, did you? Now you do. I ought to have you come up here and teach it. Superlapsarian. Oh, how many of you ever heard those terms? Anyone? No? Okay. That's the doctrines of Calvin. That's Calvinism. Okay. I am not a hyper-Calvinist. I am not a five-point Calvinist. Okay? TULIP. TULIP. Total hereditary depravity. Unconditional election. Limited atonement. Irresistible grace and preservation of the saints. I believe about 2.5 of them. The way I look at it. I'm what you call a modified sublapsarian. But the Bible made me that, okay? Because as we're going to look at this verse right here, there is volition in you. God gave angels and spirits volition. He didn't make them follow Him, did He? Did He make them follow Him? Did some of them not follow Him? That's right. And mankind, how many people follow man? A certain percentage of them. But I'll guarantee you, everyone that follow Him. First of all, God calls that all men. Some believe, some do not. Simple as that. Let's look what it says. For everyone habitually practicing and doing evil, he hates the light, and not he comes for himself. It's present, indicative, middle voice. What does middle voice mean? That means you have volition. Now, if this was a five-point Calvinist, that's going to be contrary to your belief right there. Because you don't have any middle voice. You come because you're called. You have irresistible grace. You can't stop. You can't stop. You can't fight God. It's impossible. You are programmed. Now, the Bible does teach that from eternity past, that's before God ever created anything, He knew who we were. And He elected us to salvation because He knew in space and time that we would believe. As simple as that. That's what you call election. All right. Two groups in the Bible were actually elected. Two groups in the Bible were actually elected. Can you name the two groups? Sharon, you usually know all of these things. Who is the two groups that are elected? Brother Randall, he does. I know he does. The two groups that are elected in the Bible. Two groups. What's that? Huh? Israel. Yes, sir. Israel and the church. That's the two elections right there. Yes, Brother Bill.
One thing that you did on the last time we went through this that helped me and I wrote my book. Down here where it's talking about everyone practice evil hates the light, you had a substitute Jesus for light. And I put that in my Bible, and it makes me easier to understand.
The light was, Jesus is the light.
Yeah.
He is the light. That's it. He is the light. Last week we studied Jesus is the light. He is the light. Who was in Isaiah 14 and verse 12? Isaiah 14 and verse 12. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. Anyone have King James? We want King James. Brother You got King James up there. I mean, we covered this in here, but this is very important. Okay? If I repeat something, you might learn it. That's how I get you to learn it. I repeat it. All right. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. It's up there on the board, too. Satan's path up there. If you look up there.
We were just discussing this tonight.
Isaiah 14 and 12. Isaiah 14, 12. We looked at it. Brother David, run up here real quick. Have you got it in your King James too, Bill?
I have New King James, but I think it's basically the same thing.
Okay. Run up here with Old King James, Old Episcopalian Bible. King James had that Bible translated because he was fighting Baptists and Catholics.
Isn't this the only place in the Bible where they use the word Lucifer?
Yep. All right. Let's look at it.
Okay. It's 14 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?
Okay, he's talking about Lucifer. And what does Lucifer is a Latin Greek term. Luke. Lucos. What does Luke mean? The New Testament writer Luke. He wrote the Gospel according to Luke in the book of Acts. What does his name mean?
Light
or shining one. Okay? And the term there, it's Hillel. Hillel. That's the term that actually is there. It's not Lucifer. It's Hillel. Okay? And his main name means shining one because he was the shining one. He was the light of the universe when God created him. But he had volition also. And his volition led him to fight God. And then the earth, she became dark. And darkness was over the faces of the deep. All right? In Genesis 1 and 2. And how does Genesis 1 and 2? How can anybody quote that in Hebrew for me here? Cindy? In Hebrew. Not only English. No? Cindy, can you quote it? Okay. That you got number one. You got an A plus, girl. In beginnings, created Elohim the heavens and the earth, and then it says we ha'aretz, and the earth, ha'ya, she became tohu wabohu. And then it says, and darkness hovered over the faces of the deep, the home, and it says that Spirit God, Ruah Elohim, went out and he mourned over. Mourned over the creation. And he began to put it back together. Okay? He began to put it back together. And then it says, and then God said, let there become light. Now in King James it says, and there was light, but that's not what it says in Greek or Hebrew. It says, and light became. Let light become, and light became. And that light was Jesus Christ. And here we have him still in the third chapter. And he set little luminaries. The Indian, American Indians, the Lakota, when the sun comes up, they go out and they go out bare-chested, even in the wintertime, and put their hands up to the light, and they say, oh, Tonka Sheila, Skon Taku Skon Skon, and Wonkan Tonka. They greet him. That's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in Lakota. And the power of the sun, they say, is a reflection of the power of God Himself. Because it is. Where did everything come from? From God, the person of God. God created everything. He didn't. Now, the Catholics said that it's ex nihilo. And what does ex nihilo mean? Out of nothing. It was not created out of nothing. God created it from Himself. He created everything from Himself. It all came from God. Everything you see in this world came from God. Everything. And man, masculine man, came directly from God, did he not? Not from dirt. God didn't create man from dirt. Get that out of your mind. He created him from the same elements as dirt to become dust. And he said, you're dirt after that. But then Jesus Christ, in space and time, through Mary came into this world to redeem the whole cosmos, John 3:16, and to redeem all of the creation back to himself again, because it came from him. The only thing that will be, the only thing that's going to go in file 13, you know what that is, don't you? That place right here, this is file 13 right here. Gehenna, Petros, the lake of fire. The only thing that's going to be in there is everything that has rejected him. Nothing in the creation has rejected him. Not any creation. The creation obeys still. God still makes it be morning every morning and night every night, noon and all that kind of stuff. Everything follows his orders. Okay? Except for evil that rejects the light. Evil people and evil spirits and evil angels or fallen angels. Okay? Everyone that hates the light, not he comes volition for himself toward the light. In order that not, and now we have a particle of negation. We had an adverb, now we got a particle of negation. That was on page 268. The other one was on page 294. I better write 268 on mine also. In order that not he may be reproved. How does people get saved? How do you get saved? How do you get saved?
By repentance.
What?
By repentance.
Well, how do you get that way? How do you come to the point of sorrow? God's Spirit. God's Spirit mourns over you like it mourned over Genesis 1 and 2. He's mourning over you, and he's shedding sorrow into your hearts for evil that you have done. And so then you begin to repent of your sins and ask God to save your soul. And that's how it happens. But it comes by the initiation of God's Spirit, which he does just to all men. But right here, is it not, he will be reproved to the point of repentance. Third person singular, first aorist. How many times do you get saved? Once. Punctiliar action, first aorist. First aorist is extremely punctiliar action, point time. All right? If you repent, you're saved at that point. You can't get saved later. You can repent later, be sorry for something you did, but you only get saved one time. Third person singular, first aorist. It's subjunctive mode. What does subjunctive tell you here? Again, volition. Subjunctive mode talked about volition in that individual. And then passive voice. Passive voice. You know, in Greek and Hebrew, every tense mode and voice is inspired of God. I don't believe any translation is inspired, by the way, especially not King James. That there was a Church of England propaganda. All right, even though some people believe it today. But in the original languages, the tenses, modes, and voice, and every little particle and adverb and everything is inspired of God, because that's a place there. And it will straighten your theology out if your theology is wrong. You ought to go, your theology ought to roll toward the Word of God, not toward a fixed peg in your thinking. All right? Third person singular, first aorist, subjunctive, passive voice, because the Holy Spirit works upon you. Passive voice. Do you see how everything comes out here? Every bit of it, if you got your thinking straight. The works of Him. In order that not may be rebuked to the point of repentance. That is very easy. That's whole there. That's a nominative, singular, masculine, definite article. Horisticon arthron, the definite article. That's like an arrow or a street sign pointing. That's what a the is. Okay? Ho, de, poion, tain, alitheon, eterkitai, pros, to, phos, hina, Phanerothe, Alto, Ta Erga, Hoti, Entheo, Esten, Ergasmina. And the one practicing. Nominative singular masculine, present participle acting, doing it, that's what he does. And the one practicing the truth. Aletheia. Aletheia. Remember what aletheia means? Women's names used to be Aletheia. Aletheia. That's where it came from, this Greek word right here. What does truth mean? What does it mean? Remember, I taught this to you before, maybe 30 years ago. Aletheia. You remember that one, Rebecca? Without shadows. In the open. Out in the open. In the broad daylight. Truth is truth. It means reality. Truth. Okay? No shadow. No wavering. No lies. Okay? The one doing the truth, again we see tense, mode, and voice. We see correct theology. Third person singular, present, indicative, middle voice. The one who comes for himself. All right? The one who makes his own decision. Middle voice. Pros, tone, false, toward the light. In order that it might be displayed or manifest, third person singular, first aorist, subjunctive mode. Subjunctive means what? Mode of a doubtful affirmation. It either may or may not be affirmed. If it was indicative mode, now if we had 5-point Calvinist writer here, the Gospel of John, he would say present indicative active. He did it. Program. No choice. But that's not what it says. That's not what it says. I remember a lot of times that when I'm talking about the 5 points of Calvinism, the old story always comes up. Well, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace. No one that was ever saved ever resisted the grace of God successfully. Did they? But some people do. But no one that's ever saved resists the grace successfully. Well, but there's still volition there. And it shows it in every verb all the way through the Bible. In order that he may be manifest, and look at that, third person singular, first aorist, subjunctive mode, may or may not be, and passive voice. That's being acted upon. Of him, genitive, singular, masculine, third person pronoun, out to. The works, the products, that word works there, erga, in the word ergonomics, what does that mean? In English. Huh? Something you work and do. Works. It's works. It's products of employment. That's what this is a product of employment. Hard labor. The one doing the works that in God they are having been wrought. That are in God having been wrought. What causes you to want to serve the Lord? What causes you to want to come to a discipleship class that's beyond church service? You know, I mean, you go to church. A lot of people go to church on Sunday morning and that's it. What makes you want to learn more? It's God leading you. It's God's leadership. To learn just a little more beyond just getting saved and just going to church and being happy and meeting people and stuff like that. That's part of it. 322. Meditate. That's how it starts. John loves that term. In the book of Revelation, he says, meditate this, meditate this, meditate that. Meditate. Elthane, ho, Asus, kai, ho, mathete, alto, ace, tain, eudeon, Gain, Chi, Ake, D, Tri, Bane, Met, Altu, Chi, Ebaptizane. After these things, meditate, after these things, he comes, all right, to Jesus. That word, that is a second aorist term. What's second aorist mean? What kind of a tense is a second aorist? Remember that one? I know Randall knows. Second aorist. A little more durative, linear than punctiliar action in first aorist. Thank you, brother. I knew he knew that. This is punctiliar action. Second aorist is just a little bit more. Okay? But it's punctiliar. But it's a little more duration to it. All right? And he comes to Jesus. It was a process that he did this. It was a punctiliar. It was a place and time, but there was a process in doing it. Okay? The Jesus. Ho Jesus. The ho there, that's an ominous singular masculine definite article describing the noun that it is. And then Jesus, or Jesus. What is his name in Hebrew? Huh? Yahshua. Yahshua or Joshua. All right. This is Joshua. That's who it is. What does Joshua mean? Jehovah. Jehovah saves. All right. Now, let's get this one. This is Joshua. All right. Now, what is that word? What's that word right there in Hebrew? Huh? That's Jehovah. We don't know how to say that word. I want ever all of my translation is Ha the Bar. Ha the Bar. The word. Ha is a definite article, the bar, the word. When the Jews would come across this name, they would say Ha the Bar. Because they didn't want to say that name because they were afraid to. You shall not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. Didn't want to speak his name at all. So in John 1 and 1, when John writes in the beginning, in arche ein ho logos, in beginning kept on being the Word, who's he talking about? He's talking about Jehovah. In the beginning kept on being Jehovah. And Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead because he kept on being God. John 1:14, David, Greek. Starts out Chi.
Chi ho logos starts.
And Jehovah, or the word, flesh, sarx, he became for himself. God brought himself into the world. Okay? And what does the word Jehovah mean? He who shall become. And John 1:14 is the fulfillment of the Jehovah title. Okay? And after these things of Jesus, and the disciples of him. Mathete. What is Mathete? What does that mean? Mathete. Cindy, you know that one, don't you, Cindy? Mathete. No, that's apostolos. Okay, Mathete. Sharing. Habitual learners. Apostolos, or apostles, we get that word right in Greek, means one sent out with divine or kingly authority sent out by a prince or a king. And the disciples, the habitual learners belonging to him. Genitive singular masculine, third person pronoun. That's genitive case is a case of possession. He owns us, doesn't he? How come Jesus owns us? Because he bought us. Paul says, Paul a slave, a doulos, a bond slave. He was a slave. A slave. Bought and paid for. That's what Paul called himself. And we all ought to be proud to say we're all slaves. We're all slaves to Jesus. Because he bought me. Alright. Eis tein eudeon. Eis. What's the, that's a Greek preposition. What is the Hebrew equivalent to eis? Et. Et is the equivalent to it. It means something action is coming. It's pointing. See, there's where action's going. That's what you see when you see ace. And what is the grammatical rule for ace? I remember when Brother Ken Blinn went back to Louisville, Kentucky, he went back there into their baby Greek classes. That's what he called it. After being in my class for 6 years, he went back and studied baby Greek. He went back there and his teacher said, here's the Greek preposition ace. And Ken Blinn said what? Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. That's a grammatical rule. Either it goes to something, to it, or beyond it, or even behind. That just means there's action going in some direction. Okay? In Greek, it's more powerful even than in Hebrew. Unto the Jews, all right, the land, gain, all right. What is the word for land in Hebrew? Dry land. Huh? What's dry land? Eretz. What is the ground? Adama. Adama. All right. And what is the word for mankind? Abam. All right, related to the ground. All right. And there, in that place, adverb of place, and there he kept on rubbing out. That's what it means. Dietribane. He kept on rubbing out. Third person singular. Imperfect, indicative, active. He kept on rubbing out time. Kept on rubbing out time. What do you do? There used to be a lot of people when they came home at night from work, they'd figure out something to rub out time. What would they do? They'd put puzzles together. They'd play cards. Now, when they come in, they watch television to rub out time. Or play on the computer. And the computers rub out a lot of time. Whether you like it or not, computers don't save time. They rub out time. All right. Continuing, rubbing out time with them. And he kept on baptizing. Now, did Jesus ever baptize anybody? No. Who did the baptizing? The church. The church did the baptizing. Church does baptizing today. The church baptized. We baptize by the authority of every pastor that gets up there, every ordained member that gets up there and baptizes, dips anybody, is doing it by the authority of a New Testament church. And Jesus, when did that church start? When did Jesus' church start? Don't you tell me the day of Pentecost.
When he started preaching.
When was it? When he called it out. When he called it out at Collio. When he called it out, that's when the church began. And the church began baptizing. Did the church have any offices in it at that time? We know at least one. Cindy? Had a treasurer. Who was the dude? Huh?
Judas,
man from Cariote. Issachariote. Man from Cariote. All right. What else did we have there? What was the first gift placed in the church? Huh? No. What was the first gift placed in the church? Cindy, that word. Apostles. One sent out with authority. You had 12 apostles. That was all before the day of Pentecost. Did the church ever take the Lord's Supper before the day of Pentecost? Absolutely. All this happened before the day of Pentecost. What happened on the day of Pentecost? The church was empowered and indwelt by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and given power by the Holy Spirit. Each individual is saved, and the Holy Spirit comes into your life and is part of you forever. But church membership, the church has got the comforter of the Holy Spirit upon it, which is still there with it today, that was there in the day of Pentecost. Never has stopped. Julie.
So before that day, was the Spirit and the Old Testament?
Yes. Everybody that was ever saved was saved one day. Soteriology is universal.
So why was that day such a big...
Because...
Do what? Why do they say that that's the day that the Lord came to live, the Spirit came to live in us? When that, it happened all the way from
well,
the beginning?
It's because they don't know what they're talking about. The Spirit of God Every person that was ever saved has been saved one way. And I've shown you this thing. I'm almost ashamed to do it again, but I'm going to do it. We're triune, just like God. We're born with a spirit of rebellion in us. God zips that out when we're saved, puts His Spirit in us. We're indwelt by His Spirit. We're branded. We're marked forever. That's the mark of the resurrection. We have body and we have soul. Okay? And that is good for Adam all the way this way. In the Old Testament, Spirit of God came upon people. And they acted. They wrote the Old Testament. They did everything else. That's the outside acting of the Spirit of God, guiding them and leading them, like in the church. The church is still, the church is true New Testament church, just preach truth. Why? Because Shekinah glory is still here. In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle time up here, you look at the tabernacle. When did the Shekinah glory show up on the tabernacle? After it was built. And it rested upon it, immersed the tabernacle. The tabernacle was immersed in Spirit God in Shekinah glory. Okay? It was immersed. After it was built. When Solomon's temple was built, was it baptized, immersed in Shekinah glory? No other temple ever was. Shekinah glory, that's the only time the Shekinah glory was ever in any temple, was in Solomon's temple. And then, when the church was called out, he told the church, to wait for him in Jerusalem. And the church was immersed in Spirit God. That fire. Each one of them were baptized in water. Baptized in water means you're dipped in water. It doesn't mean you're sprinkled with water. It doesn't mean got water pouring on you, but you're dipped in water. Okay? But he said, he shall baptize you with fire. That was the Shekinah glory. At Pentecost, the church was baptized in fire. Shekinah glory. All right? The Shekinah glory is still in it today. Oh, did I ask your question? Okay. I like for your questions like that. That was a good question, Julie. All right. He kept on rubbing out time with them, and the church kept on baptizing. It kept on baptizing. 323 now. 323. Ain. Day. Kai, ho, awanes, baptizon, en, ionon, yugis, ton, salem, hote, hidapta, pala, ein, eke, kai, paregi, genonta. Kai, ibaptizonto. It starts out weak adversity conjunctive particle, page 85 there. See that? That's what WAC means, not whack. But it's weak adversity conjunction. It's less than Allah. Alright? What is the what's the conjunction in Hebrew? Wow. On the front of a word. We ha'aretz. And the earth. We ha'aretz. Like that. Okay? And the earth. That's all put together when you say we ha'aretz. In Greek, it's more drawn out. Every definite article describes the noun it's describing. Okay? Now we have day, which is a weak adversity conjunction. The strong adversity conjunction is Allah. And kept on being. I put down was down there, but that's what King James says. But the better idea of it is continued to be or kept on being. Ain there. In beginning, in RK, ain ho logos, in beginning, kept on being the Jehovah. That's what it has. And now here it says, moreover, he kept on, or he continued also, and here we have the word kai, that's page 208. This word kai here, though, is not and it's, sometimes it can mean but right here it means also what we call a cumulative particle. The John, baptizing. John kept on baptizing. Baptizon. Okay, John was baptizing. What's John mean, by the way? Remember what John means? John. The idea of dove. It's the same thing. The book of John in the Old Testament is the book of what? What's the book of John in the Old Testament? Named John in the Old Testament. What is it? Where? Jonah. Book of Jonah. All right. It means dove, or it means peace, or Jehovah gives peace, basically. Jehovah brings peace. That's John. All right. And John baptizing. If I said the word nepto, what would I mean in Greek? Nepto. What's nepto mean?
Sprinkle.
Huh?
Sprinkle.
No. Almost. A little more than a sprinkle. Pouring. Thank you, Rebecca. All right. Now, if I wanted to sprinkle something, I would use the word rontizo. Okay? Rontizo. That means sprinkle. But now, if I'm going to immerse something, and our word immerse comes from what Latin word?
Baptismo.
What does our English word immerse come from? What's the Latin word? Cindy? Mergio. Mergio. Our word immerse comes from mergio. Rontizo means sprinkle. Nepto means pour. And baptizo means to immerse. Every time you see John the Baptist, you call him John the Dipper. John the Immerser. In your sacred name Bible, what's it going to say, Brother Bill? John the Immerser. Because it translates it correctly. Why do we have John the Baptist down there? King James gave him that name. Why? Because they didn't want those people knowing that those Baptists were dipping people. And it was correct. They said, what are we going to do with this word? Baptizo here. They will know that we're doing the wrong mode of baptism if we translate it immerse or dip. They said, well, don't translate it. Just put down there, just transliterate it into English, and they won't know whether we're right or not. Where they're going to sprinkle anyway. And pour a little bit every now and then. All right, and John kept on baptizing, dipping. Always get the word dip there. In Anan, near the Salem. Because waters, hidata. Now, when you go to dip somebody, you got to have plenty of water, don't you? Have you ever been dipped in the teacup, Sharon? Sharon, have you ever been dipped in the teacup? You're pretty small, but you're not that. What is it going to do right over here? They always get this thing not quite big enough. This laver over here, where the priest, the first time that he was ever consecrated for service, what'd they do with him? They dunked him. They dunked him on the water. They dipped him. He was immersed. After that, they would sprinkle him, wash his hands, wash his feet, but he was dipped one time, at least. So that thing had to be big enough for somebody to get in and dip it. How old is baptism? How long has baptism been going on among God's people? Ascending? All the way back to Abraham. Abraham baptized all of his servants. And not only that, he circumcised the men.
That was okay. Not at the same time, though, right? The baptism and the circumcision was not at the same time?
I think he did. But also, baptism was a Judaistic rite. Every girl, every month, when she went through her monthly cycle, at the end of it, after so many days, she was taken and she was dipped 12 times, once for each tribe of Israel. Even in Abraham's day, they would dip the women after they had went through the monthly period of time. Okay? They were all dipped and all consecrated. Also, when a woman got married, her father would dip her and say, you're dying, and this is immersion. Now, it's not sprinkling. He would dip her and say, you've died to your old family, but you've raised to a new family. All right? Brother Bill.
When a proselyte
came to Israel, after he met all of the theological and educational rites in the synagogue, he was taken out, and he looked like Bill. He had all his hair shaved off. And his eyebrows and all that kind of stuff and fingernails all trimmed up. And he was dipped and he died to his old ethnic background and was raised anew as a child of Israel. And that happened with all those dudes up there at Shechem, too. Levi and Simeon went up there, and they baptized every one of those men up there in Shechem, and then they circumcised all of those men, and 3 days later they murdered them all after they converted the whole town. And then, according to the book of Jasher, and a few days later, there's 10,000 Canaanites surrounded them. Just like Jacob said, you're going to get us killed. Except they fought them all off. They end up killing, according to the book of Jasher, almost 100,000 Canaanites at that time. Those 12 boys were warriors. Real good warriors. All right. John was baptizing in Aden near Salem because waters, Pala, many. They're kept on being. All right? They're kept on being there. In other words, that place was a... It had a river or something there. A lake or pond. And they kept on coming. And they kept on being dipped. All right? They kept on being dipped. 324. Are you learning? It's Randy.
The they that they refer to there is the Jews, right?
The land of Judea.
So far, we don't have Gentiles.
All of the early church was basically Jesus came to the lost house or the lost sheep of the house of Israel, didn't he? Okay, he came to Israel. They had to reject the gospel because they were administrators of the kingdom. If a Jew wants to get saved today, if he really wants to get saved, he better go to church because the church has the keys of the kingdom. Not Peter. The church has the keys of the kingdom. All right. If they want to get saved, they're going to have to hear the gospel. At one time, under the Mosaic Law, there was the Abrahamic Covenant, and then we have what they call the Mosaic Law there at this period of time. Israel was the administrator in God's kingdom. Once God called out His church, they were still all Jews, weren't they? All of them Jews. Two of them were Sicarii, hitmen. You know, they were mafia. They were who? Judas and Simon the Zealot, or Simon the assassin. Had two assassins of that bunch. One of them Satan's assassin. The other one, I guess, got saved. They were the Jewish hitmen. And what was the culmination of those hitmen? The ones that saved hitmen. Where was the last stand of the hitmen? Masada. Those people were assassins. They went into Sicily later, Sicarii. The long stilettos is what they carried. They'd slip up behind a Roman soldier, stick that thing here in him, twist it up there in his heart, and walk off and kill him. That's what the two boys on each side of Jesus were. They were robbers and murderers, more than just robbers. They were robbers and murderers, and they were Sicarii. And who was the leader? Who was the leader of that Sicarii bunch? Barabbas. Barabbas. Barabbas means what in Aramaic? Barabbas. Bara, Abba. Son of the father. It wasn't the good father. The bad boy. All right. Son of the father. Oh, you're over there hiding from me today, Roger. All right. 324. Hupo, Dar, and Beblemonos, Ace, Pain, Thalakane, Heones. Not yet, for not yet kept on being. Having been cast into the prison. This word into there, ace, extension, limitation, the thought of verbal action, it means in that prison. All right. Why was John put in the prison? Why was John put in prison? Why did Herod put John in prison?
Because he had married his brother's wife.
He had married his brother's wife, and his wife wanted to kill him. When he called him an adulterer and a fornicator, the old gal wanted to kill him. Herod still wasn't, he liked to hear John preach. He thought he was a prophet of God. and he liked him, and he kept on going and hearing him. That's what it says in the Gospels. But his wife wanted to have him killed, and so he thought that his wife was going to get one of the Sicarii to kill John. So he puts him in protective custody in prison. That's how John gets in prison. Okay? Not having been cast into the prison, John. All right? And what is the Gaelic word for John? Huh? What is it?
Sean.
It is also Ian. 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 All right. The word phalakane there, it comes from phalasso. It means to hold down. To hold down. To hold down. I could go into the watches. There are four watches of the night in prisons. Okay? You can see those written down there. Do you see them? You want me to go into that? Huh? You want that? No. You don't have it down there? Okay, well, maybe I didn't write it in there when you had that. You want to hear that? All right. What's God's alarm clock? What is God's alarm clock? What is God's alarm clock? What is it? The roosters. Every 3 hours, 24 hours a day, roosters crow. That's God's alarm clock. When Jesus told Peter, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. Okay? I'm going to get rid of some of this. Here is a clock. Okay? That's 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and 6 o'clock. Sometime, roosters crow every 3 hours. Now, if they get excited, they'll crow in between. But, did you know this, brother? Every 3 hours, 24 hours a day, roosters are going to crow. 12 o'clock midnight, you'll hear them crowing. 3 o'clock in the morning, you'll hear them crowing. 6 a.m., you'll hear them crowing. 9 a.m., you'll hear them crowing all the way down. When I was in Jerusalem, Israel, in 1975 and 76, and if I ever get this thing, are we going to put those audios out there one of these days, brother? Or our trip to Israel? I've got Brother Madden narrating my trip to Israel, along with all the doctors and the archaeologists and everything we're doing. But in Jerusalem, at 3 o'clock in the morning, the rooster was crowing, and I had to record that. So I crowed, I recorded the crowing of that rooster in Jerusalem, because that happened a long time ago. Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. All right. And this, and the watches. Look at this one now. Watches means watch or guard. There were four watches of the night. Opse, opse. Opse. The first watch from 6 p.m. to 9. Okay. When the rooster would crow. All right. And the second watch is a mesonycteon. Mesonycteon. And that's the second watch from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock. This is all PM. Okay. Meso means what in Greek? What's meso mean? Middle. Middle of the night. Okay? That one's from 9 to 12 o'clock. And then we have a leak. Torophonia. Lithotrophonia. That's from 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. And it's also called the crowing of the rooster. Alito. The crowing of the rooster. And then we have Proia. I've never taught you this before, have I? At least not you guys. Okay? Proia. That's the fourth watch. One, two, three, fourth watch. The fourth watch of the night is 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. 3 to 6. Alright? And that's Proia. And that means toward the rising of the sun or the early part of the day. Okay? Proia. So, all during this time, we got a rooster crowing here, we got a rooster crowing there, we got a rooster crowing there, and then they say, this is the last, when the rooster crows here, next time he crows, that's the end of it, of the watch of the night. Okay? That's the end of the watch of the night. Do you have any questions? We want some free watch. Free 20 to 324. Do you have any questions about this? 320 to 324. Did you learn something? All right. Hope so. Tim's good having you with us here tonight, and Mike's good having you here. We got two Mikes and Sharons now. We got a full pair here. I always say there's Mike and Sharon. We got to have the other Mike and Sharon one of these days. All right. No questions. No questions. No questions. Corey, you want to come up here and dismiss us in prayer tonight, brother? I know you've been standing up teaching kids all day long. Talking all day. Huh?
That's a good thing, though.
Yes.
Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we are thankful for this opportunity that we have to come and learn more about Your Word. May we take this this wealth of knowledge that Jim has passed on to us, and may we find other ways to study it more in depth in areas that we may need to, and may we apply it in our lives in a way that honors You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.